The Kim Clement prophecy. Let me just read this to you. We're living in very interesting times. And these elections that we just had, it wasn't political as much as it was spiritual. About 8 years ago, I had a vision. And the Lord told me, prepare for those things were about to happen. George Bush was still president. And I had this vision of all people, Nancy Pelosi. And which is horrifying to me as far as I'm yeah, I'm just kidding. Well, I'm not really. But anyway, and there was this like a room, and it was a vast room, and there was this like a trap door. And as she stood there, it's like the trap door was open, but she was it's like something was released from hell that came through her. And I saw these beings coming out. Some had heads like men, some were demonic-looking things, some were like dragons, ugly-looking faces, and they went out across all over America. And President Obama was standing. Obama was standing over to the right. He was almost like he was the boss that he was decreeing these things to come and allowing them to come. Evil has took the nation. Hasn't taken it, but began to take it. And this election is a time when God's given America a second chance. And when we found out that Donald, the name Donald means world ruler, and he's going to have an effect upon the world, it could be the world's second chance. Because I believe we're coming into a time, there's going to be a war in the Middle East soon. There's going to be a war that's going to break out very soon. And when it happens, don't be afraid. Don't be, but pray. And pray for Donald Trump and his family and his administration. We have to pray. Thank God we've got a man who God's going to use. But we have to really pray. Now that our work begins. Because evil has to be dealt with. And I believe God's going to begin to move in such a way that we're going to see another outpouring of the Spirit of God like we did for the Jesus movement. It's going to be a fast. I don't know. It's going to happen probably more outside the church than inside the church. And God's going to begin to do something new. And I want to tell you that it'll be a fast work. And in the midst of it, in the beginning of it, the church has been taken out. But the move of God will still continue. You think, well, how can that happen? Because there'll be two prophets who never saw death, which I certainly would believe would have to be Enoch and Elijah, who will then preach the gospel. And the Jewish people in particular will take this gospel to the four corners of the earth and the great persecution. And then they will be hidden for 3.5 years, as you know, and then an angel will proclaim the gospel, and then the Lord returns. We're living in very exciting times. Incredibly exciting times. And God has raised you up, and He's raised me up, and each of us up for a time such as this. We have to look to heaven for our help. We need to look to heaven for God to use us. Because it's not about the world. Everything's become about me. A lot of Christianity is all about me. You know, oh, what can you do for me? Me, me, me. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. It's about Jesus. He gave His life for us, and we should be willing to give our life for Him and for those around about us. There's a false gospel that came upon America, and it's being, I believe that God is... it's exposing it for what it really is. To have such great worship is no small thing. Because it's not entertainment. It really is worship. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of just entertainment. I better do the old prophecy. I might forget about it otherwise. This was in February 10th, 2007 in Scottsdale, Arizona. It said there will be a praying president. It's 2007 now. How many years ago is that? 10 years ago, isn't it? There'll be a praying president, not a religious one. For I will for the people, says the Lord. I will for the people. Yes, I will. God says, the one that is chosen shall go in, and they shall say he has hot blood. Good grief. That's Donald Trump, isn't it? Huh? And the people were fooled. I know that some folks spent $1.5 million on fireworks to celebrate, and it never happened, you know. But anyway, for the Spirit of God says, yes, he may have hot blood, but he will bring the walls of protection on this country in a greater way, and the economy of this country shall change rapidly, says the Lord of hosts. $1.5 trillion increase since he became president in the Dow, which is incredible. 1.2 or 1.5. Listen to the word of the Lord, God says. I will put at your helm for two terms a president that will pray, but he will not be a praying president when he starts. But the poor guy's only been president for 2 weeks. If you think he'd been there 18 years the way things are going on, right? He's done more. No, I'll get back to the prophecy. 2 weeks. Are you kidding me? Have you ever seen anything like this ever? 2 weeks. Anyway, he says, I will put him in office and then I will baptize him with the Holy Spirit and my power, says the Lord of hosts. This that shall take place shall be the most unusual thing, a transfiguration, a going into the marketplace, if you wish, into the news media, where Time Magazine will have no choice but to say what I want them to say, Newsweek what I want them to say, The View what I want them to say. Trump shall become a trumpet. And the word trump, by the way, means to sound a trumpet or to sound a warning at a opportune time, at a special time. The word Donald means world ruler, so he's a world ruler who's going to sound an alarm. He's going to sound the trumpet at a season when it needs to be sounded. Trump shall become a trumpet. I will raise up the trump to become a trumpet, and Bill Gates to open up the gate of a financial realm for the church, says the Lord. Well, that would be nice to see, wouldn't it? For God said, I will not forget 9/11. I will not forget what took place that day. And I will not forget the gatekeeper that watched over New York, who will once again stand and watch over this nation, says the Spirit of God. It shall come to pass that the man that I place in the highest office shall go in whispering my name. But God said, when he enters into office, he will be shouting out by the power of the Spirit, for I shall fill him with the Spirit, with my Spirit, when he goes into office, and there will be a praying man in the highest seat in your land. Amen. And thank God that the vice president is such a godly man as well. What a blessing. What a joy. I don't know about you, but he became president, I felt a release. I felt like dancing again. Mind you, took a little jig there and I had to sit down and catch my breath. I'm going to continue kind of where I left off from yesterday. And I'm actually, the name of my sermon, or the word that God's given me to share, because this is not a sermon, is the Spirit and the Bride Say Come. And I'll be finishing it up tonight. And you don't want to really miss tonight because of what I have to share. I'm seeing things I've never seen before. But it's a delight to see it. And it's changing me as a person because of it. My text is Revelations 22, verses 1 through 20. And I want to just touch upon a couple of things that I mentioned last night for those of you who weren't here. In verse 1 of my text, it says, then the angel showed me a river of water of life. Now, this is out of the One New Man Bible, and it's comma, Torah. Now, that's very interesting because it says basically that the water of life is actually a water of Torah. And the word Torah, of course, we understand is the first five books of the Bible. But it also means the Word of God, or it also means truth. Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the living Word. And so this river is a river of truth. It's a river of God's instruction. It's a river of God's word. And the word of God tells us that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. So there's something about truth that is life-changing that a lot of people are afraid of for whatever crazy reason other than being deceived by the enemy of this world. Jesus said what? I have come to give you life and to give it to you in abundance. But the thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. And hopefully today I'll be able to bring some revelation that'll help you to understand in this service what is going on in the nation and the world, why things are happening the way they're happening. Hopefully that'll begin to click. And so we see this river that's bright as crystal going out from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And we learned last night that water in the Word of God represents what? The Word of God. Water represents the Word or truth. The Word. Running water represents what? Very good. Obedience to the Word of God. So this is not only the Word, it's not only the Torah, the Greek word is nomos. It's God's Word flowing out of the throne of God. It's truth, it's God's instruction, and it's not still. If you take water and it sits and doesn't move, what happens to it? It stagnates and all kinds of weird things grow in it and it stinks. All right, so this is flowing water. It's running water. And God speaks to us that we need to be in that river. So when we get saved, when we come to Jesus our Savior and Lord, the Bible tells us that we are literally transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. One of the words used is the word transfigured. It is the same word that is used for the rapture. That in a moment of time, we are transformed in a moment of time. We are transfigured. We were here and we're not here. You were in darkness. You receive Christ. He washes you in His blood. You were here and then you're gone. So when you receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and He gave His life on the cross so we can have life, He shed His blood so our sins can be forgiven. Because Hebrews tells us that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. When we receive Christ in our heart as our Lord and Savior, and He cleanses us from our sin, in a twinkling of an eye, in a tomer of a second, we're taken out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The kingdom of darkness is a kingdom of evil. The kingdom of light is a kingdom of truth. It's a kingdom of revelation. It's a kingdom of good. God is good. Man's not good, but God is good. And He has good things for His people. How are you feeling that God has good things for you? Lift your hand. Lift your hand if you believe God's got good things. Because sometimes, wave your hand a little bit. And you look really silly now. No, I'm putting it down. But you know, we need to drive that home. God is good and He has good things for us. And He wants to do good things in us, and He wants to do good things through us. So here's this river of life. And so we are taken out of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of evil. We're brought into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of revelation. And He says, okay, now you need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The word salvation means to be made complete, to be made whole. So God wants to make us complete. He wants to make us whole. He wants us to have joy. He wants to have abundant joy. In order for that to happen, we have to receive the Word. Now, I know I'm repeating myself a little bit, but I think it's not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. So we shared a little bit last night about the word ecclesia that has been mistranslated church. Church, the word church is actually a pagan word. It comes from the English word circle, or the German word Kirk, and it literally means a circle. And it's kind of associated with the goddess of pharmakeia, or the goddess of sorcery. Pharmakeia is where we get the word pharmacy from, drugs. It's associated with the goddess of Pharmakeia, who I mentioned yesterday lived on an island right across from the island of Patmos where John, the Apostle John, wrote Revelations. And she was pictured with a goblet in her hand, mixed with wine and drugs of which to seduce and control the leaders and the business people of the world. That's who the goddess of Pharmakeia is. And you might note, of course, the Whore of Babylon is pictured the same way. So we're dealing with spiritual issues here. The word circus is a derivative of the word circle. Cirque du Soleil. My wife have went to that on several occasions in different places in the world. We had an opportunity to go. It literally means circus in the sun. The mother, the father of the goddess of Pharmakeia, the goddess of sorcery, is Helios, the sun god, or Satan. Which kind of takes away the whole image of Cirque du Soleil, doesn't it? Circus of the sun. But it was no shock to me that I found and began to talk to different people who one family have come to see us recently, and they've been talking to us about the church that they've been going to. They say it's like a three-winged circus. And what's happened is the whole concept of church has become a circus because it's pagan. A word defines who you are. But the real word is ecclesia. And I might as well throw this in just to bring it on home. If you want to be successful in a circus, you have to have a good performance. You have to have good performers. You have the clowns who appear to be one thing, but they aren't really that at all. All they do is mock and be mocked. It's another name for a clown is a harlequin, which was a demon spirit of mockery. And so the clowns come out. And while the clowns come out, they take away the elephants and the tigers and lions or whatever. And then they bring in somebody else. And no one even notices because the clowns have distracted them. What's true for the church is also true for the government. The government we had has come from the church, and a lot of the church in America, not all the church, but a lot of the church is pagan. And like I shared, when my wife and I came back here from China, we were 7 years in China, we were shocked at the condition of the church in America. We thought, man, well, so Lord, why would you want me to come back to America? You know, I left in revival. I came back to what in the world is going on? People were offended if you spoke the truth. Why are you picking on me? Well, no one's picking on you. We love you. But this is the truth. You should welcome the truth. So the word ecclesia literally means called out ones. And forgive me for going over this, but again, I think it's perhaps necessary. The word ecclesia means called out ones. And literally, the transliteration of that would be those who've been called by God to gather together in Jesus' name, to hear the word of God on God's terms and not theirs. To hear, because some hear, but they're deaf, and seeing they're blind. To hear the word of God on God's terms, to yield to his word, because our pride rises up, and we have to defend ourselves. To hear the word of God on God's terms, to yield to that word, and then to obey it and to apply it to our lives. As we do that, that shows us that we're in the river. That life is flowing through us. And anybody who's receiving the word and obeying it, it will change you and revolutionize you. There's a lot of people I meet who say they're Christian. They're no more Christian than the moon's made of cheese. I want to see words come cheap. The Bible tells us that Satan masquerades as what? An angel of light. Some people look the part, but what's really going on? See, I believe God is breathing on this nation again, and we're getting back, not to all gathering together to, oh, you're so wonderful. Oh, let me give you a back massage. Oh, the Lord just loves you, and He cares about you, and God forbid that you would ever have to repent. If some of these guys started preaching the gospel, they'd probably lose their church of 20,000 people, and it may shrink somewhat. We need truth. Now let me continue. It says, in the middle of its street, also on each side of the river, is a tree of life making 12 fruits, yielding its fruit each month. Yielding its fruit each month. And we shared about this last night. If you have fruit, and fruit's lovely, but after a while it begins to rot. So the Lord says, we need to be in the river of life. We need to be hearing the word. We need to let Him have His way in us. And that will produce what? The fruit of the Spirit. Because we learned, we found out, we discovered that the tree of life is the tree of Torah. Or the tree of Nomos. Or the tree of the word of God, of God's instruction. Or the tree of truth. And so when we're in the river of truth and it's having an effect upon us, it begins to produce fruit. And the fruit is the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, temperance, long-suffering. All of those things are being produced in our life as we're hearing, gathering together and hearing the Word of God preached. And it's an ongoing process that never stops until we meet the Lord. Because you can be in the river and all these things will be happening, but if you turn away, the fruit you have will begin to rot. Now it says, and the leaves of the tree are used for the healing of the multitudes. Now I'm going to come back to that. Let me go on. And there will no longer be anything there that is cursed, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will serve Him, and they will see His face, and His name will be upon their foreheads. Now, that word name in the Greek is emet, E-M-E-T. It means literally truth. And they will see His face, and His name, God's name, truth, shall be written upon their foreheads. See, every one of us is going to have something put on our foreheads. Well, everyone's going to have a mark on their foreheads. It's either going to be truth, it's either going to be the mark of God, or it's going to be the mark of the Antichrist, or the mark of the beast. Can you say amen? Amen. We make the decision of what mark you and I will receive. Will it be the mark of the beast, or will it be truth, the mark of God? How amazing. I'm going to still come back. Don't let me forget to come back to the leaves, okay? And there will no longer be night, and there will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will give light upon them, and those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Truth, the Lamb's Book of Torah, will reign forever and ever. Then He said to me, these words are faithful and they are true. And the Lord God of the spirits of the prophets sent His angel to show His servants what must happen in a short time. So, He said, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy in the scroll. And I, John, the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and I saw, I failed to pay homage before the feet of the angel, the one who showed me these things. But he said to me, stop. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brother, the prophets, and those who keep the words of this scroll. You must now pay homage to God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of prophecy in this scroll, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the righteous still be righteous, and let the holy still be holy. In this day, when people are departing from the faith like never before, church attendance is down, and those who go into the church, they found out, I said yesterday, over 50% weren't even true believers. They were going through motions, but coming to church was more of a social event than it was an encounter with truth. It is a good word. It's God's word. How could it be anything else? Then he said, behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to reward to each one according to his deeds. I'm the Aleph and the Tav, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who are washing their robes so that he will give them permission to use the tree of life and they could enter the gates of the city. Now, I'm going to stop there and I'll do the rest tonight. Lord, I come before you right now in Jesus' name. I plead your blood over every man, woman, and child in this place. Put a hedge of safety round about us. I bind every distraction from hell, from every demonic spirit. I bind the evil one. Lord, we call out to you. We ask in Jesus' name that you will bring an anointing. You will anoint our ears to hear your word in the mighty name of Jesus. That oil will be placed upon our ears, that word will go in, we'll receive it, we'll understand it, and it will set us free as we yield to it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. What an amazing word. It says here, blessed are those who are washing their robes, so that he will give them permission to use the tree of life, and they could enter the gates of the city. If you're going to enter into the fullness of God's kingdom, you have to have fruit. You know, the priests in the Old Testament, they would wear a robe, and tied around the robe at the bottom would be a fruit and a bell. The bell represents the proclamation of the gospel by the things that we say. The fruit represents the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, if your life doesn't match up to what you're saying, there's a problem. If you just had bells, you'd just be a sounding gong. Meaningless. If you have just fruit, you're imbalanced. You have to have both. So as we live this life after becoming believers, gathering together to hear what God's word. Someone told me many times actually, you offended me. You really offended me. And I said, good, that's my calling. I'm called to offend you. Why would that be a shock to you? Why would that be a shock? I am called to offend people. That's my ministry. I'm an offender. Of the flesh. Yes, sir. I am called to offend people in darkness or in evil. I am called to expose evil. I am called to expose darkness. So don't get upset with your pastor. Don't get upset with me. Don't get upset. You need to rejoice it's been exposed. It's a good place to say amen, actually. Very, very good place. And so the word of God tells us here, blessed are those who are washing their robes. Now, what color do you think a robe is that we wear? White. White represents purity and righteousness. Righteousness is defined as right thinking and right speaking and right living. So, I actually had an event happen to me that when I first came back from China and came back to America, I died. Somebody did a blood. I went to this place to give them water. I don't know what it was, why I went. But anyway, this guy said, "Oh, you should have a free medical checkup of $10." And so I said, "What the heck?" Blood test. So I had a blood test, but the lady didn't know what she. I thought it was America. We're all right. I've been in Africa. I've been in places in Africa that probably shouldn't have been in when I was there. And I've been, a lot of places I probably should have been. I've been in New Guinea and shouldn't have been there at that time either. I've been in quite a few places I probably shouldn't have been, logically, but it was the right place for me to be in. There was anarchy and all kinds of crazy stuff. And, some of the hospitals, you really wouldn't want to go there, to be honest with you. But anyway, this is America. So, see, I have a blood test. Well, the lady killed me. She stuck the needle in my arm and couldn't find the blood, which is never a problem with me. I've got tons of blood. And she hit a nerve, the agusa, something around the nerve. And it says that it tells your brain that your artery has been severed and it shuts you down. And I died. My wife came running over. Is that right, Christy? She ran over. She says, "Oh, my God, he's turned blue." Well, during that time, all I know is I looked up and I saw these clouds. I was in a building. I saw these wisps. And I was wearing this white robe. Very thick. Very luscious. I went, "Whoa, man, what's this?" And the thought came to me. It says, "The dead in Christ shall be taken up to meet the Lord in the air, and then those of us who are still living shall be taken up into the clouds to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be." I know, holy cow, I'm here now, And then I heard this voice. I thought she shouted it, but she apparently whispered it very firmly. "I rebuke the spirit of death and destruction in Jesus' name." And all of a sudden, it's like I was in a cannon. The bottom is all black, and I saw these heads and people at the end, and I started coming up through this cannon, and as I was being loaded onto a gurney to be put into an ambulance. And so, that robe is a robe of righteousness. And we all have a robe. But how many people know while we're living, that robe gets a bit dirty? We talked about this yesterday. As you serve people, as you go on, things happen. I mean, we get set up. I mean, the enemy is against us. He wants to set you up. And we're learning, well, what happens when these things happen? We get let down, we get betrayed. People don't look at us the way we expect them to look at us. They don't say what we want them to say. They don't act the way we want them to act. And, it goes on and on and on. I didn't get the promotion I should have got. And why did the pastor use somebody else and not me? He doesn't, dear God in heaven, look at me. I'm da 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 da. Well, that's the problem. God, me has to die, because it's not about me, it's about Jesus. It's about the kingdom. That's what it's about. And so you have to get into that river of life where you will feel offended, where your flesh will be offended, and let truth come over you and expose it and yield to it, then let the blood of Jesus cleanse you. So we're all people. Come on, let's be honest. We're all people here. None of us are perfect. Some are a little bit better than others, but we're all in the same boat. So that tells us we all need to be we need to be gathering together as much as we can to hear the word. Pray for your pastor to have a good word to really offend the flesh. When I got saved, when God began to deal with me, all of a sudden, I the fear of God came on me. I was afraid, there may be a hell I may be going. I got saved during the Vietnam War. While I was in the U.S. Air Force, I had orders to go to Southeast Asia. And so life and death became very real to me. And I remember I was stationed at Sacramento at the time, and I'd just gone down to Travis to take one of my friends who was with a 101st Cavalry group. He was out of his mind going back for his third tour. And while I was there, I looked and they're unloading all the coffins. And guys blown to pieces. I thought, man, that could be me. And God used all those things to bring me to the cross. And my friend, by the way, got saved as well, who went there. Blessed are those who are washing their robes. Are you washing your robe? Are you? Oh, God calls out to you, wash your robe. You ever been around somebody who doesn't wash their clothes? Doesn't bathe regularly or at all? You know, it's not the kind of person you want to particularly hang out with. Hygiene is very important. I don't know what happened to teenagers sometimes. I think sometimes they go off the deep end or something, because, I mean, hygiene just kind of disappears for a lot of them, you know? Anyway. Thank God my son's passed from being a teenager into something else. We don't quite know what it is yet, but it's coming. So I was praying one day in the morning, and all of a sudden, the word evil came to my mind. Evil. What is evil? Well, something bad, you know, you can define evil. But I felt like it came across me so strongly that I had to look it up and find out. The word evil in the Old Testament comes from the Hebrew word Ra, R-A. Now, Ra, as far as I know, was an Egyptian god who was the god of war and destruction. I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he was the god of destruction or the god of war. Oh, thank you very much. I wasn't sure, actually. I really, really do appreciate it. Ra is the opposite of shalom. Now, the Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the shalom of Jerusalem, right? Well, you know, I said, oh, you know, God give shalom. You know, I don't know, give him peace. So let me just have a quick look at the word shalom. Is that okay? And then I'm going to go back to the word Ra. Shalom, I'm going to read this definition. Is that okay? And then I'll talk about it. Shalom cannot be translated into English with a single word. Shalom comes from shalem, meaning to be complete. When there is shalom, there is tranquility. There is justice. There is sufficient food, clothing, and housing. There is divine health with no sickness. Shalom means an absence of disorder, injustice, bribery, corruption, conflict, lack, hatred, abuse, violence, pain, suffering, immorality, and all of the other negative forces. Shalom is an absence of those things. A rabbi wrote that shalom means no good thing is withheld. Therefore, when we pray for the shalom of Jerusalem, we are praying that there will not be any injustice, disorder, strife, violence, poverty, sickness, abuse, accidents, homelessness, pain, hunger, and they won't lack anything. It is a picture, by the way, of Psalm 23, where it says, the Lord has laid before me a banqueting table. And the picture of the banqueting table is all the enemies all sitting, all surrounding you, but you're at a banqueting table and you're not in the least concerned about your enemy around you. And that's the picture of where Israel is at today and Jerusalem is today. You're not the least concerned. You're not in fear. You're not anxiety. You're not freaking out. You're in good shape. Can you say amen? In fact, for the enemy, it's the opposite. The Bible says in the King James, in James, it says the demons shudder. Now, do you know what the word shudder means in Greek? It means literally their hair stands on end. To shudder means, ah! So now the picture is we're sitting at a banqueting table having a good meal, laughing, kidding around, joy. The enemy is, every strategy is not right. It's not right. We should have won the election. Oh, so I mean... I God, help me. My wife said, don't be political. I said, I won't. I'll just speak the truth. But that's what it's a picture of. That's what it's a picture of. The Antichrist will appear as a man. He will appear as who the Messiah is, but he won't be. He talks the talk. He's a good orator, and he looks all right, but that's not the way it really is. Because the fruit of his spirit will be Ra. Ra. What does that mean? So, as that morning in prayer, I looked it up. It says, the opposite of shalom, while Ra is commonly translated evil or wicked, bad is given as the first meaning. The dictionary does not express the real meaning, and English has no simple meaning of the Hebrew word Ra. Ra is the opposite of shalom, so it means that nothing makes sense or fits. What is going on right now? People saying, what's going on? Nothing's making sense. Do you ever hear people say that? I hear it all the time. Chaos or anarchy are often used in this translation because they may best express the meaning of Ra. So when a person comes, and if a person is full of evil, then the fruit of that evil will be anarchy, rebellion, chaos, disorder, division, divisiveness, death, destruction, what'd you say? Lying, heartache, bondage, depression. Anarchy or chaos reigned when the children of Israel strayed after false gods, when the seeds of the Lord and the tithes were ignored. When there is chaos in society, the bullies take over. So might makes right. Corruption and bribery are common. Pretty heavy, isn't it? So draining the swamp takes on a whole new meaning. Well, just because Russia got, you know, half of our uranium, a quarter of our uranium, it doesn't mean that I really got any money for that. Oh, really? I'm not getting political. Just a little. Okay. Freedom is restricted. Immorality is the norm. There is no order in society, no justice. Sometimes in our lives, we find that even though we cannot put a finger on it, there is just a feeling of things not right. That is the mild side of Ra. The far end of Ra is when everything is wrong, as with an absolutely hopeless situation. In that case, only a personal relationship with the living God can give you peace in your spirit. Through Him, you can make it. Now, I find that absolutely amazing. Ra, evil, discord, anarchy, upheaval, chaos, disorder. Those things aren't from God. They're from the kingdom of darkness. They're from the evil one. And we need to understand that we battle not against flesh and blood, but we battle against what? Principalities that rule in heavenly places. Wickedness. Demonic spirits. Remember, I started out by sharing how I saw, I don't know why I saw Nancy Pelosi, but she opened up this trap door and she became it almost, and out came through her all of these demonic spirits. Evil began to be poured out over our nation. And you can see it, how it's corrupted a lot of the areas of government. Why would you set a traitor free? Somebody who was responsible for the death of other American servicemen. Why would you say somebody who was should be shot for treason? Why would you give a lot of money to a place like Iran that his whole, their goal is to destroy America. Their goal is to destroy Israel. Death to the great Satan, death to the little Satan, death to America, death to Israel. And now they're launching ballistic missiles, and they have nuclear weapons. Just to let you know, they have nuclear weapons. They want more. Okay. Remember I was talking about the lease? So what happens when evil is made manifest? Well, I think today in the political realm, we're seeing this thing about evil and good between darkness and light being made manifest. It's a spiritual conflict that's taking place. What happens? Evil will rise up and try to come against you, will try to intimidate you, try to hurt you, try to embarrass you, try to assault you, try to make you suffer. And believe me, if you're going to be a believer, you're going to encounter evil. There's going to be strategies that are going to be brought up against you. Now, God will defeat those things. And we said that 2017 means what? 17 means overcoming the enemy and complete victory. This is the year of overcoming the enemy and complete victory. This is that year. It's the year 5777, meaning what we said yesterday. 5 represents the number of grace. It means grace. 7 is God's number. 3 is full measure. It's the full measure of God's grace for you and me. So God's given us grace to be overcomers. So that doesn't mean to say now everything's going to be easy. No, it's going to get a lot harder in some ways, spiritually. But we have the victory. The victory is yours already. The victory is yours and it's mine. The sick shall recover. God will bring the evil one down. And isn't it amazing that at the end of days, it's the Lamb that's seated upon the throne. And the wolf, the devil, is cast into the lake of fire. I said I was going to share something that I almost forgot, but I'll do it now. For some reason or other, the last couple of weeks, everything I just kept coming across, everything was wolf. I was going to watch a movie, it was called Wolfite Movies. I just kept seeing, I told my wife, it's wolf, 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 wolf. I said, well, maybe the Lord's trying to speak to me about the wolf. And then I happened to watch Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, and he talked about the wolf, and I told Chris, this is absolutely amazing. And so before I left home, well, actually, because of the ice, we got iced in, and in fact, by the way, I heard that there could be a possibility of another 12 inches of snow today in Portland. What in the world? Leave us alone. You guys are further north. You're north of us. You should be having this. Not, we're down south there. I repent. I mean, you may have me to blame for this. I said, Lord, why don't they get some snow? I didn't know you were... I guess there's power in the words we speak. And what's that? I might, yeah. Holy cow, we've only just got out of our house after 2 months of that. Anyway. Oh, how embarrassing. Anyway. Gosh, I'm lost for words, and that doesn't happen very often. What do you do? What do you do, Rodriguez? What do you do? Right, well, anyway, let's go back to the strategy of the wolf. So this is what Jonathan Cahn shared. He said, the strategy of the wolf is to round up the flock. And the Nazis round up the Jewish people during World War II. Then they separate the weak, the old, and the mothers from the children. That's exactly what happened to the Jews. The founder of the Nazi Party was called Karl Wolf. One of the founders who came up with the name Nazi Party was Rudolf Jung. Rudolf means wolf. The chief of staff or supreme commander of the SS forces in Italy was Karl Wolf. Hitler's chief secretary's name was Johanna Wolf. The SS commander of Auschwitz was Rudolf Hess, and his name means wolf. Hitler named his headquarters Wolfschanze, meaning the wolf's lair. He named another headquarters Wolfschlick, or Wolf's Gorge. Hitler called his bunker the werewolf bunker. Hitler stayed during the war, the place Hitler stayed during the war was the wolf's lair, or the wolf's glen. He called his submarines wolf packs. And the name Eldorf means wolf, or the wolf. But in the end, what do we say? The lamb wins, and the lamb is seated upon the throne, while the wolf is thrown into the lake of fire. See, the wolf, the enemy, has a plan to come against us. Sickness, fear, the future. I mean, how many fears are there? Fear is the enemy of faith. But, you know, let's face it. You know, I'd love to say, oh, yeah, well, so I'm a man of faith and I never have any fear. Liar. No, we all suffer to some degree at times from fear. We have to put our faith in the living God and believe His word. And He somehow turns the strategy of the evil one around and uses it to make us strong, to make us conquerors, more than conquerors, overcomers. We're changed. As we put our faith in the living God, God turns everything around until we're sitting at that banqueting table, surrounded by our enemy, the devil is in his, with their hair up on end. Ah, I thought we were awesome! And we were going to win! We were going to win! I knew we were going to win! The enemy had a plan for this nation to bring it down, but God's intervened. Blessed are those who are washing their robes, so He will give them permission to use the tree of life. They could enter the gates of the city. I'm going to close with the leaves that I almost forgot about. Thanks for reminding me, Keith. It says, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the multitudes or the nations. I read that and I said, I'd look into it a little bit more. What in the world healing? But I thought, well, maybe they're going to make a cup of tea or something out of the leaves, you know. But the leaves take away the results of every evil thing that has come against any person or group. In the same way that a person has been healed of polio still has a crippling effect, those who have been healed from various evils carry the scars. The leaves of the trees will remove even the scars. In other words, there are things that we experience through life that are the result of evil working through another person or an organization or us, I don't know. But thank God, as we're in truth and we let that truth flow through us and we yield to that truth, good fruit is born in our lives. And the Lord, as we have those, takes those leaves and through that truth heals our hearts, heals our souls, heals our minds, heals our emotions, heals our whole being. Can you say amen? How many people believe that? How many people believe that? Oh, the Lord wants to apply. He wants to use the leaves this morning or this afternoon now for healing for you. As you're in truth, as you're in His Word, as you believe His Word. Yeah, we're not perfect. But you know, we have a heart for God. The fact that you're here this morning is amazing. You've overcome enormous odds just to be here. And you need to overcome more odds tonight. But God wants to bring healing. And while I've been talking, there's healing that's taking place in people. healing in your mind, healing in your emotion, healing in your soul, healing in your heart, healing even in your body. And I release supernatural healing this morning. I cast out the spirits of inheritance. I break the power of evil that's been working in your life to destroy you and bring you down. I cast out the spirit of death and destruction in Jesus' name. We take dominion and authority. We believe the word. You shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Who's sick here this morning? Just lift your hand. Anybody sick? All right. See those hands? Keep them up. Oh, raise your hand. All right. If you see a raised hand, if you're a true believer, lay your hand on them. Go ahead. Lay your hand. Somebody make sure. Have a look. Make sure everyone's got a hand on them. And I want you to believe for that person. I want you to speak the word of God right now. That whatever that need is, you will rebuke sickness and disease. Tumors will disappear. Cancers will disappear. Demonic holds on people's lives will disappear. Demonic bondage will be broken and people will be freed in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, have your way right now, right now, right now. Touch every heart, touch every life. Bring release, bring healing, bring wholeness. Set the captives free even now in Jesus' name. We believe you. We believe your word. And we thank you that your anointing is here. Oh, God, touch men and women. Touch them. Let's just pray and lift these people. Let's believe God together. Believe God together. And don't say, oh, Lord, if it be thy will. It's God's will for people to be healed. Start in Jesus' name declaring healing and wholeness. Start declaring deliverance. Start declaring that every cancer will die. Every organ will be made whole. Every tumor will leave. Pain will leave even now. We cast it out. Restoration is here. Salvation is here. New knees, new hips, new lungs, new hearts, new livers, new stomach. Oh, in Jesus' name, we break every curse. In the mighty name of Jesus, we break the power of every curse. We release life.